Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. We'd like to thank you for tuning in to another New Beginnings Ministries. You're listening on Blog Talk Radio, and we do thank you for being a part of this. Today's topic will be self-control, and we look forward to an exciting time in the Lord, and we do invite you to be a part of this as we communicate of the Word of God. For those that are listening by internet, you would dial in 347-237-4054 and hit 1, and you would be connected to New Beginnings Ministries. I'm Brother John with Dr. Suzanne, and we just come on every Wednesday. We'd like to inform you that the time has changed from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. That's from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. We will have the Bible study, and we do hope that you will remain to be a part of this. Before we get started, we'd like to have prayer, and then we're going to get into our topics. Being that the time slot has shortened, we want to make sure that we do everything in a timely manner. Amen? Father God, we thank you for this opportunity. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity just to be able to share your word. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you would just give us direction, that you would guide our tongue, guide our minds, and guide our hearts, Heavenly Father. We ask that the words of our mouth will be pleasing in thy sight. We ask that you bless the listeners, those who are a part of this. We ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would bless them physically, mentally, and spiritually, and allow this, Heavenly Father, to be an enlightenment, so that, and more than anything, that we would gain knowledge. We thank you, and we give you praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 We, again, are talking about self-control, self-control. And when we talk about self-control, we are guided to the scripture, Galatians 5:22. That's Galatians 5:22. And the word says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Amen. And we have been discussing the fruit of the Spirit for the last couple of weeks. For the last couple of weeks, we are, you know, with self-control, but we've discussed gentleness. We've discussed most of the fruits of the Spirit, goodness, faith. Amen. Did you want to make a comment, Sister Susan?
No, in the Living Bible, it says self-control, that but when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And here is no conflict with Jewish laws. And when I think of self-control, I'm saying discipline, that the Holy Spirit will help to discipline us.
Amen. Amen. And in all things, whatever we do, we are always guided by the Holy Spirit. We pray and ask the Holy Spirit for guidance. And through that guidance, the Holy Spirit would give us all the fruits of the Spirit. Amen. We also looking at Galatians 5:23, and which continues, meekness, self-control. And against such, there is no law. Amen. Again, there is no law. So when we've discussed in terms of the fruits of the Spirit, speaking about love, which is the greatest gift that we have, love one for another, amen? Loving one for another, not animosity, not any type of hatred for our brother or our sister, but more than anything, we are to have love one for another. And when we share, or when we show love one for another, then out of that we will receive joy. We receive the fruits of the Spirit: peace, long suffering, gentleness. Amen.
Amen.
We also look at meekness and self control. And here is, we are where we are right now. Self-control, which is one of the fruits of the Spirit, controlling ourselves, being able to control ourselves, not being tempted into the things of the world, but being led by the Spirit, as you had said.
And it's being in control, like, of your temperament, too, that we shouldn't be, quick to anger and quick to judge. The self-control should bring us to a point where we're not, in conflict with anyone, you know.
Amen.
So we're disciplined and our temperament is meek and mild and pleasant, and that our and the way that we conduct ourselves, and when people think of us, it should be like that, you know.
Okay.
I hope that someone would use the fruit of the Spirit, of some of that, to describe me, you know. So that should be our goal. That should be what comes from us. That should be what people see when they see us, that they see joy, that they see meekness, that they see self-control, that they see gentleness and goodness and faithfulness, you know, when they see us. Those should be descriptors of the body of Christ.
Amen. That is so true. That is just our character. As others see us in our Christian walk, they should see all of these, the fruits of the Spirit.
Amen.
That's our witness. That is our witness of who we are. Who we are in Christ. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We're going to move on, being that we have changed the time. I want to make sure that the cognitive time as we move on. And the next scripture that we're looking at is Proverbs 1:3. Proverbs 1:3. Did you want to read the scripture?
Just a minute. Proverbs 1:3.
Yes.
Sure. Proverbs 1:3 in the Living Bible says, let's see here, for he wanted them to be understanding, just and fair in everything they did. These were the
Amen.
Proverbs of King Solomon of Israel, David's son. So that's where Proverbs come from. Going back, it says he wrote the Proverbs to teach his people how to live and how to act in every circumstance, for he wanted them to be understanding, just and fair in everything they did. I want to make the simple-minded wise, he said. I want to warn young men about some problems they will face. And there's people that say, like, if you would read a book of Proverbs a day, a chapter from the book of Proverbs a day, because there's, 31 Proverbs chapters, that you will be wise. 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, because these are the lessons of wisdom for as he said to young people, but they're mighty and a blessing to even old folks. You know what they mm-hmm. what the Proverbs say. I love reading the Proverbs. What's
Amen.
The next one? 7.
Well, I just wanted to emphasize on that. You know what I'm looking at. It says to receive instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment, and equity. And when we look at wisdom, wisdom is thoughtfulness. You know, looking at thoughtfulness, justice, the word which is considered, you know, truth. Truth. We're looking at truth.
Mm-hmm.
Justice is truth. Righteousness. How we respond in reference to others. How we
mm-hmm.
respond to things. We are looking at the Word of God. And then there's judgment, which Proverbs leads us to pass on in terms of our actions
mm-hmm.
of one another. Our actions of one another. So when I see, as you mentioned earlier, Proverbs is also that's the instructions. our instructions in terms of how we are to respond. And there's wisdom, there's justice, and judgment, and equity. Equity, looking at, again, as we're looking at expresses the principles, you know, of our actions. You know, treating everyone equal, everyone the same. Responding, one, if we love one, then we love enough the other. We do not separate anyone. That doesn't make a difference whether they're big, fat, short, whatever color they are, whatever nationality they are, but we treat everyone the same. Amen?
Amen.
Proverbs 1:7, moving on to Proverbs 1:7, word says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fools despise wisdom and instruction. The beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is knowing that our Savior is all-powerful, knowing that our Savior, the power that our Savior has when angered, and when we know the power of our Savior, then we respond accordingly in terms of our actions. We are instructed to respond a certain way in our Christian walk. And more than anything else, it's, you know, we are to walk in sin. I mean, we're not to walk in sin. And if we do sin, then we are to repent of our sins. And when we do not repent, then that just leads us into a deeper separation, or we're walking not toward God, but we're walking away from God.
That's right.
Amen. Did you want to make a comment in reference to that in terms of we're looking at the fear of the Lord as the beginning of knowledge? Is the fool despise wisdom and instruction?
No, but I would like to see the Living Bible version.
Sure, go ahead.
It says, how does man become wise? The first step is to trust and reverence the Lord. Only fools refuse to be taught. Listen to your father and mother. What you learn from them will stand you in good stead. It will gain you many honors.
Amen. Did you want to, you know, make a comment in terms of that?
I think you basically said it. But like we were saying, these nuggets of truth to, especially to our young people and growing up, the proverbs are just. The book is just chock full of wisdom and precepts for us to follow.
Amen. I look at it in terms of a fool. A fool is someone who chooses not to follow instruction. And when a fool chooses not to follow instruction, then there is a lack of wisdom or a lack of knowledge of the Lord. Amen.
And you know what else? I think that a fool would be someone, it's not someone who doesn't know. Like, I think ignorance is not to know, to follow. And then you learn from your mistakes so that you won't become a fool. So a fool is someone that have made the mistakes and continues to make the same mistake over and over again and refuses instruction, refuses, you know, like some people are, they're haunty and don't want anybody to tell them anything, but they keep doing the same things wrong, you know, or making the same mistakes finding themselves in situations and can't make the connection that it all comes back to them not taking instruction, you know, not being wise, using wisdom, not using not using the resources that are put before them, the resource of experience, you know, the resource of experience through others, the resource, you know, just things or even reading about it, that they don't take advantage of that, that they just continue to do things the foolish way. So they're just fools. You remember the rhyme, simple, I mean, I don't know why this came to mind, but Simple Simon met a pieman going to the fair. Said Simple Simon to the pieman, let me taste your ware. And I can't remember, like, the entire poem, but I do remember the picture that was in the book of a foolish-looking man, but everybody else was, you know, was dressed properly, and he looked like a jester, like a fool, that he's out of place, but he wasn't even aware of his foolishness, you know. He was the same foolish things over and over again until that became part of his name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just adapted that name. It became a part of his name. Yeah, as we walk our Christian walk, we are in awe of knowing who God is, and knowing you know, that there is a finite presence. You know, there's someone who knows you know, who we are. He knows what we do at all times. He knows our heart, he knows our mind. Our Savior, who created us, knows all about us. So we cannot say one thing and think another, because God knows our thoughts, and he knows our heart. So just having that and knowing that is in fear of knowing that we cannot hide. We cannot hide. We cannot fool God. We may be able to fool man, but we cannot fool God.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that, and that's basically, you know, think about Adam and Eve, that, you know, when they were trying to hide. They were trying to hide simply because they did not want God to thinking that God could not see them or know what their actions or their mistakes was, and that was actually the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of wisdom of knowing that God knew exactly where they were when he said, you know, Adam, where art thou? You know, he already knew. He already knew, and we have that that awe of knowing that there is. There is a heaven. That this time here on earth is only temporary. There is a heaven. You know, and after we leave this place, then we're going to another place, you know, in heaven. Knowing that we are going there one day. One day. We were born, you know, and as sure as we're born, we are going to die one day. And knowing that we are going to go to heaven, that just puts me in awe of just even thinking about making sure, you know, that my actions are right, you know, that how I treat others, those that I run across on a daily basis, those that God has sent my way, that I know what my purpose is, and that I am functioning according to how God has designed me and what my purpose is. And that's on a daily basis. That's on a daily basis. Making sure that I, if I do make a mistake, that I am quick to ask for forgiveness. I'm not just going to make a mistake and not think anything about it. I am going to always make sure that I am asking God for forgiveness. I'm thanking God on a daily basis of knowing who he is in my life and his presence in my life. And sometimes we sin and we don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Moving on, our next scripture we're looking at is Proverbs. We just did Proverbs 23. Oh, I'm sorry. We're on Proverbs 23 now. Did you want to read that?
No. 5:23 says, "He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he will go astray." In the Living Bible, I'll go back to the 22nd. It says, "The wicked man is doomed by his own sins. They are ropes that catch and hold him. He shall die because he will not listen to the truth. He has let himself be led away for incredible folly."
I want to emphasize for those who are listening that when it says to die, it's not a physical death, it's a spiritual death. It is a spiritual death from not following the Word of God. Choosing not to follow the Word of God, should I say. And when a person chooses not to follow the Word of God, then that person will die spiritually for lack of knowledge, lack of instruction. And it says that in the greatness of his folly that he shall go astray, meaning that go astray, meaning that that person will become lost. And when I look at that, I think of in terms of someone giving me instructions of how to get from one city to another, and all I have to do is just follow those instructions to get from point A to point B. And when I choose to take those instructions, I am going to get from point A to point B. Or I can choose not to follow those instructions and choose to get from point A to point B on my own without those instructions. And once I get lost, then I have to try to figure out where I am and how to get back on that road. I'm lost. I'm actually lost. I really don't know where I am, simply because I have never been. I have never traveled that direction before, so I become lost. But, you know, just relating it to here, stating that, you know, the Word of God is instructions. You know, it says the Word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. The Word of God is instruction for us to follow. And if we follow those instructions, then we will be able to get to where we are going. And that, and our final purpose is being able to get to heaven.
What else is that the going astray means that you're separated from God the Father. You're separated, you're choosing to separate from Jesus Christ and from the Holy Spirit. And without the Holy Spirit, there is no guidance through the day. Like when people say, people that don't know the Lord may say, "I had a feeling that such and such and such would happen," or "I had a feeling to do so-and-so." Well, I believe that it's the Holy Spirit that moves us to do or say different things or to look in it, to be in a certain place. Like we talk about divine appointments. So to separate myself for someone to refuse instruction, refuse the Word of God, refuse the guidance and the love that the Lord has to offer, even to refuse the mercy and the grace that that the Lord offers is a very, very foolish choice. How can you refuse grace and mercy from someone who says, I'll take you just as you are, don't change, I love you like you are, that I love you, I've loved you from the very beginning, you know, that I've known you from before you were born, you know, and but you refuse, but people refusing to do that, it's a, that's a fool, that's a fool. That's like me giving you a blank check. The Lord has given us a blank check on our life. You know, the wealth, I mean, so much, there's so much that could be ahead, and I believe that all of his, everything that he has for me, everything that, as far as my purpose for the kingdom, is good. So how could I separate myself from someone or cut myself off from a resource who has nothing but good in mind for me, that has nothing but love for me?
Mm-hmm.
So if you... person becomes spiritually dead, dead because they're not connected to the vine. And if you're not being fed spiritually from the vine, that part of then you know, spiritually you wither up and die. But in the physical realm, in the physical realm, in their death, is to say it becomes the same thing, that they won't have the peace of dying in Christ. There's peace in dying in Christ. There's peace to your family when someone passes on in Christ. I think about this weekend I went to a couple of funerals, and my first question when I heard it, especially for one of the people that passed, was, I wonder if he was saved. I wonder if the opportunities that I had around him and subtle invitations and so forth, was that enough? Should I have said more? Should I have done more? Because people, when it comes time for a funeral, the family's sitting around saying things that are not biblical, basically, that are not scriptural, it's not a part of Christianity, a practice of Christianity, where they say, well, now we have another angel in heaven. God created angels and God created man. They're not the same. They're not one in the same. So when someone passes, they don't become an angel. Their spirit goes on, but not to become an angel. Angels are something totally different. They're another creation. Another creation that the Lord has allowed us to, the angels to be at our call. So that's what we're supposed to do. And the angels are close to the Lord and worship him continuously and surround him. And in the heavenlies, the angels are warring on our behalf, our guardian angels, and our warring angels are warring on our behalf in the heavenlies. So to say that your loved one has become an angel is complete error. It's not biblical. It's not scriptural. And then the other one is that when people pass, they say, well, I will see them again. Well, you don't know whether you're going to see them again unless you know that that person accepted Christ. You don't know whether you're going to see them again unless you've accepted Christ and unless you've been living a Christian life. Because that's all the Lord says to do, you know, is to accept him as your Lord and Savior. There's no, you don't have to do so many penance, so many Hail Marys, to read so many documents, so many jumping jacks or whatever. The Word of God says that we are to... to praise and worship him and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, invite the Lord Jesus Christ into our hearts as our personal Savior. We are to develop a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's one thing just to invite him, but the next step is to develop that relationship with him, and then to get an intimate relationship with him where you have a you're having conversations and the Lord speaks to you too, and you have and you're sensitive to the things of the Spirit. So we have to be careful that when we minister to others, that we minister the whole truth. But if someone refuses, Jesus says that we're supposed to shake the dust off our feet and move on. We may have planted a seed, even though they may have rejected it. we may have planted the seed and somebody else will come around and fertilize it and till it and prune it and, you know, water it and so forth. But you don't, we're not supposed to argue, and Christ does not need us to defend him. You know, we're not to get into arguments and defending him. That's totally against the fruit of the Spirit. If you're arguing and trying to bully somebody into becoming a Christian, beating them up with the Bible, then you don't really look like you're representing the fruit right now. So,
amen.
So, yeah.
Amen. That's true. That is so true. That is so true. Amen. As we continue, for those that are listening that would like to be a part of this discussion, the telephone number is 347-274-0054. Hit number one, and you will be connected to the conversation. And you can join in. We do invite you to be a part of this dialogue as we discuss the Word of God, self-control. Moving on to our next scripture, I'm looking at Proverbs 12:1. Amen.
Proverbs 12:1 reads, "To learn, you must want to be taught. To refute reproof is stupid."
Mm-hmm.
That you can't get more clear than that.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely right.
So that goes back to the fool that doesn't want to learn, the fool that refuses correction, you know, that gets angry and wants to defend their mistake. But to learn, you have to want to be taught. You have to want to learn. You have to receive correction. You have to be able to receive constructive criticism. You have to be able to receive receive instruction, you know.
Amen. Amen. And again, you know, here it is. We're talking about self-control. Self-control. So when we're looking at self-control, that's part of how we have to love discipline or correction. We have to love knowledge. Okay, and for all of these lead up to knowledge. Our children, we correct them. We correct them on a daily basis. And if they respond, if that child responds by listening to our instruction, that child will gain knowledge. That child will gain knowledge from our instruction by following our instructions. If you say, make sure that you, if you're walking around that pool, that you do not get too close or you will fall in.
Mm-hmm.
And if that child chooses not to go to that pool, or if the child is at the pool and it does not, the child does not get too close to falling in, that child is going to gain knowledge of understanding that at a certain distance, I don't have to worry about falling in or something happening. So that's just the way the Word of God is with us. If we love to follow direction or to be corrected, then we will gain knowledge. Amen?
Amen.
We are moving on to our next scripture, and we were, that was Proverbs 12:1. Now we're looking at 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. And again, we are discussing self-control as we just peruse through the Word of God and just discuss what the Word is speaking to us. And we'd love to hear from you if you have another interpretation of how the Word reads to you. We would love to get part of this. Amen. 2 Timothy 1:7. You have it?
Would you read it?
2 Timothy 1:7. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Amen. Amen.
God has not given us the spirit of fear. We are not to walk around fearful of anything. If God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, He is God. He is the one who's in control of everything. We are not to walk in fear. But we are to walk in power. We are to walk in love and a sound mind, meaning that we're not walking around confused. We know who we are, and we know what our end is going to be. Amen?
Amen.
Did you want to make a comment?
No, but that is a favorite scripture. You hear that quoted a lot, but we have to continuously remind ourselves because the enemy will come and try to the enemy tries to control through fear. That's the way bullies do, you know, to keep you fearful, you know, to keep you doubting. Doubting is a form of fear. Questioning is can be a part of fear because of trust, the lack of trust. Inadvertent forgetfulness can be a form of fear because they people that don't want to face facts or truth. Avoidance is a form of fear. Of fear also. So when the enemy comes in and tells us that, and tries to make us fearful of things, fear of the future, fear of the past, fear of the unknown, that it keeps you in bondage because you can't move. You know, you're stifled. You're afraid to go forward, afraid to go back. People that are afraid of success, you know, they get stuck. They won't make a move forward. They won't make decisions, and that comes from fear. Not able to make a decision. And sometimes people think, well, if I don't make a decision, well, then you can't say that I failed. But not making a decision is failure because you even fail to make the first step. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So indifference is fear. It's fear also. So we need to be careful not to be fearful because fear does not come from the Lord. Fear is straight from the pits of hell.
Amen. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned that, you know, when I think about it in terms of we are going to go through all kinds of trials. We're going to have all kinds of trials. And through these trials, we know what's lawful. We know what's right in God's eyesight. We know what's right in God's eyesight. And knowing what's right and lawful according to the Word of God, we're not supposed to fear as long as we are obedient to the Word of God. And through that, then there is a sense of love which enables us to hear, to believe, and also to hope and endure all things. That is our incentive. That is our incentive, allowing us to be able to hear, believe, hope, and to endure all things. It doesn't make a difference what we go through. Okay, our incentive is to be obedient to the Word of God. Do not change. Do not change. Do not change. Amen?
Amen.
And when I look at in terms of a sound mind, to me a sound mind is something that's a clear understanding. You know, making good judgments as we are doing things. You know, and when we're making those good judgments with a holy passion to the Word of God. That means that all of our faculties, you know, are regulated and influenced by the Holy Spirit as we act according to how God wants us to act with one another, or whatever situation that we're going through, how we respond to that situation according to the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So when I look at that in terms of the Spirit, you know, it's not giving us a spirit of fear. But through all things, there's power, there's love, and we have a right mind as we go through that. The power of knowing that we're going to come through it. We know we're going to get through it through the grace of God. The love of knowing that He loves us. God loves us. And He will say, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you.
And that goes back to the discipline about not panicking. Not panicking when life offers challenges. And see, the enemy will do the same things over and over and over again in your life and put things in your life that sometimes people accept as that's just them. That's just the way they, the way the family is or whatever. But we have to be careful. Very careful of that, and in discipline, begin to discipline ourselves into becoming who Christ wants us to be, not who somebody else said we were, but who Christ wants us to be, not who the enemy says you are, fearful and you know what I'm saying, fearful and doubtful and untrusting and untrustworthy. That's not God. We want to work towards being who we are in Christ, who we're supposed to be in Christ.
Amen. We're going to move on to our next scripture, which is Hebrews 12:11. And I'm looking, we have a few scriptures we need to get through the 15. Hebrews 12:11.
Okay. Would you read that?
Do you have it now? No chastening, for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them who are trained by
it. Would you read it again? You kind of broke up.
Now, no chastening, for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them who are trained by it. And, you know, when I look at this, there are two things, you know, that are stated. It enables him to bear the pain without murmur. And number two, it turns the infliction, whatever that infliction was, it turns into a blessing on his soul. It turns into a blessing. So there's no chastening of the present seems to be joyous. While we are going through that, it does not appear to be joyous. We're not, you know, it's not joyful during that time.
Mm-hmm.
But grievous. But nevertheless, what the word says, nevertheless, after all that, after we've gone through all that, what it does, it yields, as long as we remain peaceful to the word, as long as we remain obedient to the word of God, it becomes peaceful fruit of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
To them who are trained by that. Trained, meaning being obedient and following the word of God. Being obedient and following the word of God. So when we look at it, it's just about being righteous. Being righteous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fruits of the righteous, being righteous. You know, we are trying to be more like God. You know, and we are dead to the sin of the world. We are dead to the sin of the world. Amen? But when we're walking around, we are walking around alive to God. We are walking around alive to God. We are walking around in God's eyesight, and we are joyous. We are peaceful. We're loving one another. Our actions determines who we are, if we are following the Word of God. We are going to continue to move on We are. Did you want to make a comment on that? Because
no, I'm fine.
We have Acts 24:25
reads, "And as he reasoned with them about righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come, Felix was terrified."
Could you read that again?
Okay, can we go back?
Go ahead.
Let's go back to 24, and I'm going to read it from the King James Version first. "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.' He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, and he might lose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound." Okay, this is about Paul and chains, but I wanted to go back to who Felix was. And Felix, let's see here, Drusilla was the third wife who was conned into marrying Felix, and Drusilla was Jewish. And Felix is related to Antony and Cleopatra. When we talk about, history, are you with me? Mm-hmm. We talk about history. So they had been witnessed to, and he listened, but he didn't receive, if I got this right. So this is where Paul was appealing to the Caesars.
Mm-hmm. And with that, you know, what was happening was Paul, what he did, he gave them, he obeyed their sermons, and he also gave them opportunity to preach the gospel to them. But as he went through that, when Paul went through that, his main principle was to lead them to repentance. And basically that's where everything was leading to. Paul was leading them. The bottom line, he was to allow them to preach their sermons, or to amuse, you know, themselves with, you know, with their talk, or, you know, their sermons at that time. But the bottom line was he did listen. He did listen to them. But the bottom line was his whole purpose was to lead them to repent, and he would seize every opportunity he could to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to move on to our next scripture. We just completed Acts 24:25, and we're at 2 Peter 1:6. 2 Peter 1:6. Do you want to read that, please?
Could you read it?
2 Peter 1:6 says, "And to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, patience, and to patience, godliness." And let me read that again. "And to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, patience, and to patience, godliness." And looking at this, it's stating that knowledge, with knowledge, there is going to be self-control. And when we have self-control, then there's going to be patience. And through patience, then we are going to be, there's godliness. There's godliness within us because we are of being obedient to the Word of God. And it's, you know, we look at it in terms of things happening at certain times. You know, we are to wait on God. We are to wait on God in whatever situations, patience. Waiting on God. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Feel like we're trying to rush to get to it. We have three more to go. We're looking at 2 Peter 1:6 right now. Now we're looking at Titus 1:8. Titus 1:8. Titus 1:8 states, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good, sensible, just, holy, temperate. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good, sensible, just, holy, temperable.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay, break that one down for me.
Say it again.
Break that one down for me.
This is stating that every office of the ministry should love what they do. They should love every man, no matter what denomination, whatever country they come from, they're found in, that we are supposed to love that person. In the ministry, we are to love that person. Doesn't make a difference where they come.
Mm-hmm.
Hospitality. We look at hospitality, treating one person a certain way. You know, a lover of good. We love to do good. We're sensible, being just to everyone, being holy and temperate. Amen?
Okay.
We're going to move on. Just trying to look in terms of the time. And okay, we are looking at Hebrews 12:8. There's two more scriptures.
Hebrews 12:8. If God doesn't punish you when you need it, as other fathers punish their sons, then it means that you aren't really God's son at all, that you don't really belong in his family.
Mm.
Wow. Mm.
So that means that even a child receives some type of chastisement. A child, when you are a father with a child, there is some type of chastisement for the mistakes, you know, that was made by the child. And here it's saying that if God does not chastise the believers in Christ, then we are not, you know, sons and daughters of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We all, in control, we should all be obedient to the Word of God, and through obedience, then we are to, there's going to be some correction. Then we should love to be corrected by the Word of God. Through correction, then we're going to receive knowledge. Amen?
And that's correction with love, just like the father with their children. You know, the punishment and the correction, the discipline, is because he loves his children.
Amen.
And the Lord loves them.
I don't want to cut you short here, but I'm looking at it on here, saying that we have like about 30 seconds left, so we're going to close that up. You know, I'm sorry to cut you short because I don't want you to cut yourself off and
mm-hmm.
still you're talking. We have like about 20 seconds left. We do thank each and every one of you for tuning in. We invite you to tune back next Wednesday at 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio, and we are New Beginnings. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most. We have just completed talking about self-control, and if you can look up on your own, Revelation 3:19, which is the last